Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Today we're being joined by the mayor of Mount Sterling, Mr. Gary Williamson. And Gary, thanks so much for spending time with us today on Front Page.
Well, thanks for the invitation.
Well, Mr. Mayor, you and I were able to attend a public gathering here in the Morehead area earlier this fall that featured U.S. Senator Rand Paul, and I know one of the topics that was discussed was the drug problem in the area, and I know that this is something that is a topic that you're very concerned about, and maybe talk about what your thoughts are there.
Really, we really in Mount Sterling, we don't have any more problem than any other community. But I think what we were just made aware of it more, and we've gone after it very aggressively. I'm thankful to have the kind of personnel we have within our police department that's taking this on as a mission. And these guys are really aggressive, and they do a super bang up job.
How long have you been putting up this very aggressive effort against drugs here in your city? Has it been maybe for the last few years or several years, a decade, or what?
Right, it's probably been about 6 years now that we've really been after it. We had a task force that was doing it before, and we just wasn't seeing any results from what they were doing, and so really got embarrassed by a picture in the paper that a reporter pointed out that we were renaming a street, and a couple of council members, myself, and of course, I don't think the reporter could prove it was a drug deal going on behind us, but I would bet it was. So he pointed that out in the paper. And so at that point, the then chief of police was Mike Schnell, and so I brought him to my office and said, "We got to do better than this. We can't let this go on, and we can't let this happen." So out of that grew the task force that we put together, and these guys have really, in the first big raid they did, they arrested 72 people. Now, we're not after the people for possession and stuff like that. We're after the guys that are doing the selling.
At that point, when you decided to undergo this alone and put up your own task force, how bad, in your opinion, was the drug problem in the Mount Sterling area?
Really, there's no way for us to gauge how deep it was, but we do know it was deep. I was getting so many, particularly parents, coming to me and the police, and, we've got problems at home. I've got a son, I've got a daughter that we know is bad into drugs, and, something has to be done. And so we reacted to, these complaints. And surprisingly enough, we're getting a lot of assistance from the community, and people that actually were in the drug culture realize that it needs to stop, it needs to go, and it's amazing how much help we get from the people that are actually involved.
Because the local residents saw your city police department undertaking a more aggressive effort in fighting drugs in the area, do you think that's why they decided to start stepping forward?
That's part of it, and the fact that the citizens of this community gained respect for these guys right off the bat, and everybody recognized that this has got to be dealt with, and the integrity of the people that were actually involved in this and do the investigative work and stuff, it was soon recognized. And so out of that came, we had no idea of how good a job that was going to be done here, and they just did a fantastic job.
Well, who was doing the work before? You mentioned you had an outside task force handling that.
We had a group called Buffalo Trace Task Force, and they were actually doing drug investigation.
Why do you think that they weren't as successful, perhaps, as your local folks?
I don't really know. I don't know what they did. I don't really know. We just know that it wasn't getting the results. And when we get 72 on the first roundup, and it's kind of getting to be where the public is not really shocked by the numbers. We have some large roundups, and it's kind of, well, they got another big drug roundup, not realizing a lot of communities would give their eye teeth to have this happening.
Now, if I am correct in this, you also, when you were a member of the Buffalo Trace Task Force, you had to make a financial contribution on a regular basis, probably an annual basis. How much did you have to spend there?
It wasn't a great deal of money. It was, you know, maybe I'm thinking at that time $5,000 or $6,000. That and of course other communities was involved in that, and then they got some matching federal funds. So, but I can't give you an exact number.
So, when you decided to go ahead and undertake this alone because you felt like your guys could do a better job, did you have to then raise the stakes in terms of spending more?
Yes, and basically, when David Charles, who is now the chief of police at Mount Sterling. Chief Snell suggested that would be the man that could do the job and take this task on. He really the first of we brought him to the office. He wasn't too sold on this idea, and he first thing was money. We don't have well, okay, I'm gonna put you some money in the budget so to get you started. Now the money we put in wasn't near enough to do what we wanted done, but it was a start and a good start. And then next was personnel. He didn't have enough officers. And, well, you pick two that works with you, and it's your choice, and you take the two you want. And he later told me, said, I left that office that day thinking those two gray-headed guys have lost their ever-loving mind.
Well, Gary, how much do you have to spend a year to combat this problem?
Well, I can't give you an exact number, but now that we have done so much seizures and stuff, we've seized cars, we've seized motorcycles, we actually seized a building, and we've done so much seizures that a lot of the expense and the burden of this is going back on the drug dealers. And we've been able to sell these items and come up with a significant amount of money every year that it has to be spent on drug investigation, and we can spend it for surveillance equipment, or we can spend it for buy money, this kind of thing. And now it is not as much a burden on the city budget as it once was, because I think last year it was like $100,000 we got in seizure money.
Do you get any federal support for this effort and possibly maybe some help from Operation Unite?
Well, Unite is not in our congressional district, so we get a lot of support from the DEA and even the FBI at this point. And also the Kentucky State Police, Special Investigative Unit, has been a real partner in this. And these DEA contacts that go out of state have really been helpful, because a lot of times it's through them that we know what's going on three or four states away that's going to affect us. And so we're actually prepared for it to, you know, when it comes to town.
When we talk about some of the measures taken and some of the extra steps taken to combat the drug problem in the Mount Sterling, Montgomery County area, what types of things did your guys do maybe that hadn't been done before?
Well, actually, I think the dedication of time and putting the people in the right place, and the fact that these guys would come out and work on their own time and on the weekends and stuff like that. It was just having the right people at the right time in the right place that really made this a driving success to start. And now it's kind of got infectious.
Do you think it's because they live in your community and maybe they take this problem more personally?
Yes, it's a personal insult. And you would be surprised how far, you know, that this reaches out. Because we've actually had doctors in other states and things that have had these pill clinics and things that have actually been taken out of business because of the fact that we've got cooperation from federal authorities out of state and been able to reach out and touch them in these areas.
You mentioned that you picked up 72 people in the first roundup, I guess it was about 6 years ago. Have the numbers started to decrease?
We don't see those real humongous big roundups, but yes, it's still a goodly number. I mean, you know, it's nothing for them to have a roundup that'll pick up, you know, 15, 20 people.
I'm just kind of wondering, and I know this idea has been bandied about with the economy struggling still, and it's been struggling for the last few years, if this plays a role on the problem, and I'm wondering how the economy is in your area, and if you feel like maybe that has been a factor in all of this.
It definitely affects the economy. It affects industry. I know we've had a lot of contact with local industry, and we're blessed with a lot of industrial base here. And, you know, a lot of people that are giving interviews now can't pass it because of drug tests. And it has a large effect. And so I think they're very supportive of our efforts and what we're doing here.
What are you hearing from members of the community about this?
Well, of course, it's mixed. You know, you always have the naysayers. But I think overall the members of the community are very impressed by what's happening and what's going on and the level of dedication in the job that our local police are doing.
Well, I have to believe that the folks in your town probably feel a lot safer when they're out and about.
Yes, and, you know, and of course, the drug investigation was just one area. We've raised the bar and have responded extremely well, and we are good people, and we made a conscious decision back when I first came into office that we're going to hire good people and you know, train them, bring them up the way we want them brought up, and I think now that it's having a tremendous effect.
When you first started this, as we mentioned, probably about 5-6 years ago, what were your expectations, and has the effort perhaps exceeded those expectations?
I was blown away. The first roundup, we would actually been pleased if we'd have got that many in a 5-year span at that time. You know, this exceeded all of our expectations.
I know that the problem has been in the past pills, the illicit trade of prescription pills, and also meth, but I know that it's kind of graduated now into heroin. Are you seeing the same thing in your area?
Yes, we're seeing heroin. We are now seeing bath salts. We're seeing, it seems like when you get one monster kind of under control, another one pops up. Now, the pill traffic, now that Florida has enacted some legislation, has really been curbed, and it's been controlled a great deal by states that we have no control over. And basically, that was where most of the pills was coming into this market.
Well, I know heroin has kind of become the drug of choice because, as you mentioned, pills have become much harder to get, and because they've become much harder to get, they've thus become more expensive for those who are looking to buy them, and heroin is a little bit cheaper high for these folks, and, is it a problem in your area?
Yes. Heroin is the up-and-coming drug right now. And strangely enough, we even have seen some LSD, which everybody thought that was dead a long time ago. But there's actually some of that is surfaced.
How frustrating is that? You get a handle on one problem, you think that you've got this thing going in the right direction, and as you mentioned, it's kind of that game of whack-a-mole where one thing you knock down, and here comes another problem that pops up.
Well, you know, it's like shoveling sand off the beach. You shovel sand. But if you don't keep fighting this problem, it would be a cancer that would eat your community up, and there's no doubt in my mind. And we are fully aware that we can't lock this problem up. We're going to stay aggressive and we're going to stay after it. But, we need to see a major push, not just in our community, but all over in treatment and trying to get people help. There's two different things out here. There's the people that are addicted, which, basically they've got a bad problem. And then you got the dealers. The dealers are the guys we want.
Well, Gary, you mentioned that the treatment is extremely important. What about education in all of this, maybe talking to the young kids about staying away from drugs?
Education is something I think the one of the areas where education is not being real effective is in the home place. And, parents are going to have to step up here. I'm a grandfather, and I have 8 grandchildren, and I expect my sons to educate their children to this cancer that's out there. I know a lot of times kids are going to try things just because it's fashionable, just because their friends do it and stuff, but we can't back off of it. We have to let them know of the consequences, and this stuff we're seeing now, the new stuff that's hitting, and like I mentioned, the bath salts before. This is more dangerous than anything we've been looking at, and the fact that one time could kill you. And we have started also, along with what we're doing in the investigative part, we've started doing public forums and basically making the public aware. You mentioned heroin a while ago. We've got one coming up that's going to educate the public on what is heroin, where did they get it, how did they do it, and we feel like that the more you let people know exactly what they're dealing with here, the better off we're going to be.
You know, it's surprising because you and I have been around for a while. We know that drugs are a problem. We know that you mentioned LSD. That was a problem back in the late 60s and probably into the early 70s. And you know, there's been all sorts of different drugs of choice over the years. And at the same time, we still have to keep re-educating people that these things are bad. They can hurt you. They can hurt your family. They can hurt other people. And I guess for me, it's just kind of like, why aren't people listening?
Well, you know, that's above my pay grade. I wished I had that answer, and I wished I could give you a good answer on that. You know, it's just like Russian roulette. Why would anybody play Russian roulette? And basically, that's what a lot of people are doing when they're, and a lot of people get hooked on drugs and things innocently, you know, like a medical problem or something like that, and it extends past that, and that's bad too.
When you mentioned the police officers in your town and the undercover agents that have to go out there and fight this drug program or problem rather over and over and over again, and new things pop up as we talked about, you know, it's got to be somewhat frustrating for them. But do you ever worry about maybe a burnout factor for these men and women?
Absolutely. This is one of our major concerns. We have not really experienced it, but we do move officers around some and take them back out and put them in other duties such as patrol and this kind of thing where they can get away from it some. But, and we worry about the frustration level, too, of having to lock these people up, and before you get the paperwork, they're back out on the street, and this is very frustrating.
Yeah, and you mentioned that, I guess it was House Bill 463 that kind of changed things in terms of making things, I don't want to say easier for drug violators to get back out on the streets, but I guess that's the long and short version of it, in essence, because it takes a lot more to lock them up than maybe what it did before. And, I mean, what are your thoughts about that bill and maybe the impact on your efforts there in Mount Sterling?
The bill stinks, and I really think that the legislature needs to go back and lick this calf over. We're still locking the same people up, but most of the time now it's not for drugs. Now, you know, we can make a conspiracy case, but that takes a lot longer. But the thing is that we're locking them up for shoplifting. We're locking them up for breaking in your home. We're locking them up for breaking into your automobile. We're locking them up for sticking a gun in a convenience store guy's face and robbing them. Same people. But if you've got them in jail, they won't be out here, doing these things that are very dangerous to the public.
Well, if not House Bill 463, what do you think the state can do from a legislative level to help with all this?
Again, I think they need to back up and go back and reverse some of their position. And I understand their position here. I understand that the jails are a great burden on the counties, and I understand that they, it's a great expense. But leaving these people out on the street and letting them, do their thing is a greater expense on the public and the long haul, I think.
Again, our guest today on the front page, the mayor of Mount Sterling, Mr. Gary Williamson, and we will continue with the mayor right after this here on Front Page.
This is Robert Siegel from NPR's afternoon news program, All Things Considered. There is a constant stream of information coming at you through the day, online, over the air, by word of mouth. At All Things Considered, we try to figure out what it means, why it happened, and how it will affect you. Join us every weekday afternoon, won't you? It's All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered, weekday afternoons at 5 o'clock on Morehead State Public Radio.
Welcome back to Front Page. Mount Sterling Mayor Gary Williamson, our guest. I'm Chuck Moraz. We've been talking about his city police department's efforts to fight the local drug program, and it's been more of a local effort than anything else that has succeeded in the Mount Sterling effort. And Mayor Williamson, as we continue, I'm just kind of curious if maybe some other communities have come to you, have seen what you've done over there and had seen the success that you've had and maybe asked you what's going on and maybe tried to pick your brain for some ideas.
Yes, they have, and we're ready to help other communities, and we do get cooperation from other communities in drug investigation, and Moorhead is one of those communities that we do get some input from them, and it helps us to know what's going on in their community so we know what to look for in ours, and vice versa. And we have actually had our people go in and show other departments a lot of things that they need to be doing. And strangely enough, when David Charles made chief, of course, he had the beard and the earrings and had, you know, looked like everything but a police officer at that point. And the head guy of DEA in Kentucky was in a meeting, and David was there. He didn't recognize him because he'd never seen him any other way. And he said, "Well, if you want to see how drug investigation's done right, go to Mouse Turtle and see what those guys are doing." Of course, Chief Charles was sitting there. But I thought that was a very high compliment.
Well, and they always say that things work better at the local level because you have local people involved. And as we talked about earlier, these local people take more pride, perhaps, and they also take it more to heart when they're putting an effort up that's going to help their community be a better place.
That's so true. And, you know, these men and women that work for us, this is their home. This is their community. This is where they want to live and raise their children. And they want it to be in the best fashion. And I certainly think their actions speak well for that.
As you move forward with this, what ideas do you have maybe to maybe get another handle on this thing or a better handle and maybe start to win the war a little bit more? I know right now you're doing a great job and you probably got this thing at bay, but maybe trying to start turning the tide. What needs to happen in your mind?
I think we need to keep abreast of what's happening and what's going on, and I think we need to just, you know, as the target keeps moving, we have to move with it. And our ideas, though, and our good thoughts and our good deeds are all coming from the officers we have working this program. They're the people that come up with the ideas of how to do this. And without that kind of input, I don't think you could do it. And we've kind of let them freelance on this, and we'll listen to any of their ideas, and most of the time, you know, we'll pick it up and run with it.
It sounds like that's pretty critical.
Yeah, it is. It is. And if you didn't have that and you didn't have the people that had allowed them to do their job and allowed to do it, they're police officers. I'm not. I'm a mayor. And so I let them be the police officers. And if they got a good plan, I'll certainly back it and we'll certainly go with it.
I think you bring up a great point. So oftentimes government will tell people in the field how to do their jobs, but in essence they're also tying their hands and preventing them sometimes from doing their jobs.
That's so true, and I hope it'll never be said about me as a mayor that one of the reasons I have so much compassion for police, I have a son that just retired from Louisville 2 years ago, and I understand the life of a police officer. And I, you know, having one to live in your house, a lot of times you understand the frustration they deal with. And so in that, I think it's taught me some lessons that, you know, I need to step back and let them do their job.
Did you ever ask him for some advice?
Yes. Yes. And that's the only time he gives me advice is when I ask.
Well,
he's like his mother.
well, at the same time, I mean, this is a great story in essence. I mean, obviously, the drug problem of Central and Eastern Kentucky is devastating to so many people. It's a terrible problem, and we're still trying to get a handle on it. But you have to feel pretty good about how you've been able to make some things happen and accomplish some things in your community over the last 6 years or so.
Well, I really... What really makes me feel good is the fact that I've had the people that have made this happen. I've just kind of been the conductor here, and, you know, they've been the engineers and the firemen, and I am just very fortunate. I'm a very blessed man to have the kind of employees that I have, not just in the police department, but all the city employees, and, you know, they run the city, and they let me play mayor.
Mayor Williamson, thanks so much for joining us today on the Front Page. We certainly appreciate your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Again, our guest today on Front Page, Mount Sterling Mayor Gary Williamson. I'm Chuck Mraz, host of Front Page. See you next time.